It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Nature, when unhindered by the human race, is in a constant cycle of regeneration and renewal. Industrialized, militarized society is, on the other hand, in a constant state of deterioration and destruction, in a constant state of needing repaired, rebuilt, and replaced. The current paradigm was never sustainable, and those who do not yet accept that fact will soon enough. Only the fewest today think that global civilization is on the brink of collapse, but it's doubtful that Romans, the Greeks, the Mayans, or the Mesopotamians saw their own fall coming either. We hear about new obstacles on a daily basis, but most of the news consists of disturbing stories on increasingly overwhelming issues that, plainly spoken, seem impossible to solve. And yet so few even recognize that it is collapse unfolding all around us. That's an excerpt from David Lauterwasser's report on the collapse of civilization. The majority of the population has been conditioned to be blind to slowly unfolding catastrophes. For example, I hear from some who continue to try and convince themselves that there's nothing wrong with the trees, the insects, the birds, wildlife populations, the oceans, the ozone layer destruction, and resulting extreme UV radiation. Some struggle to find solitude in denial, but it does not and it never will exist there. Only in fully facing the gathering storm head-on can true solace be achieved. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for April 28th, 2018. As always, this is a commercial-free news program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org. It's broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM, Sunday mornings from 7 AM to 8. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, Wednesdays, 2 PM Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Final announcement before getting on to what's happening in the planet of Insania, in which we are all currently passengers. Gym Fair this week, Santa Rosa, California, started yesterday, ends tomorrow. Sonoma County Fairgrounds, geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth will be there, stock of materials that you can have for free. Please help us to sound the alarm. You can have a free entry into that event if you're there to pick up materials and you let the organizers know that. Next week, Sacramento, California, May 4th to May 6th, Scottish Rite Center. The week after, May 11th through May 13th, Santa Barbara, California, the Earl Warren Showgrounds. Again, at each Gym Fair event, there will be a Geoengineering Watch informational booth that you can get materials from. If you're in those areas, please help us to sound the alarm by passing out credible and compelling materials. That's the most effective way to wake others, as opposed to, in regard to the climate engineering, pointing at the sky and ranting and raving. That doesn't work. Pass on credible data. That's effective. Moving on, report from last Saturday's Earth Day, which is now come and gone. And though I fully realize what I'm about to say will likely offend some, it needs to be said. So many that participate in Earth Day are simply individuals that are doing their best to foster a false sense of security with their own forms of denial and wishful thinking. For example, the March for Science group, which I spoke about last weekend, again this week, deserves a dishonorable mention. Though I made mention of this, as I stated in last week's broadcast, that their immense hypocrisy of behavior by attempting to eject the geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth that was set up at the California State Capitol last Saturday at the Earth Day in Reading, the behavior of the March for Science representatives was truly profound. I made a very diplomatic attempt to simply pass on one of the geoengineeringwatch.org fact and photo summary booklets to them, simply stating that any legitimate investigation of the climate should include an investigation of climate engineering. That's reasonable, isn't it? That's all. That's what I tried to convey to them. I informed that in the booklet I was trying to pass on, there were government documents, copies of gag orders on National Weather Service and NOAA employees, NASA satellite images that clearly revealed engineered cloud formations, many of them shockingly unnatural. The response from the so-called March for Science representatives was unimaginably infantile, like narcissistically injured kindergartners. No offense to the kindergartners. These representatives were one step away from putting their fingers in their ears and screaming, "I can't hear you." The exchange I had with the Sierra Club Association of Total Hypocrisy was about the same. So in conclusion about Earth Day and many who attempt to hide from their fears at this event and in this theme, please find the courage to abandon your often immense hypocrisy and face the whole truth, not just a comfortable part of it. Here's the bottom line. As I've stated many times before, there can be no legitimate discussion about the state of the climate or the state of the environment without first and foremost addressing what is mathematically the single greatest assault against both, the climate engineering weather warfare assault. Single greatest threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm. And we have the vast majority of the environmentalist organization community completely denying the issue. And in most cases, as I've stated many times before, in the case of their attorneys with World Wildlife Foundation, Environmental Defense Fund, Sierra Club, Greenpeace, and the rest, they're too afraid of jeopardizing their 501c3 nonprofit to address the geoengineering issue. Total hypocrisy. So let's all just pretend that geoengineering isn't going on in the skies above our head, wreaking havoc on the planet. Let's all just pretend that's not occurring while the ship goes down. It's not logical, it's not rational, it's not right, it's not honorable, it's not moral. When will we change directions? On the subject of the Sierra Club's total hypocrisy, consider this message to the Sierra Club from an activist named Beatrice, and more importantly, the cowardly response from the Sierra Club is what matters here. Here's her message, posted on one of the geoengineeringwatch.org comment blogs. Recently, I've been responding to the environmental.orgs that asked for my donation through email that I won't give until they expose the biggest elephant in the room impacting life on Earth that we all know and I refer to from the factual information on this site, geoengineeringwatch.org. Below is the response I received. This is from the Sierra Club. Quote, "Thank you for contacting the Sierra Club. We do not currently have a position on the issue of geoengineering and understand your confusion about our lack of involvement. We lobby to protect existing laws and support prospective laws and encourage conservation of the Earth's resources, protection of wild lands, and support aspects of a healthy, efficient environment for people, plants, and animals. Clean air does fall into this spectrum, but at this point, and here's the important part, we cannot lobby against the issue because it has not been recognized as a, quote, real, in quotation marks, quote, real problem by our U.S. government. There you have it. Greenpeace's position, the position of so many other environmental groups of total hypocrisy. Unless the government says it's true, it's not true. If you support these organizations, you are definitely not helping. They're organizations that care about their own existence and clearly nothing more. They do not care about the truth. Total hypocrisy, and that's what, I'm sorry to say, much of Earth Day is about. Complete hypocrisy. There's then this new headline report with a title statement that countless self-proclaimed environmental protection organizations do their best to ignore and deny. This report is from theconversation.com. What Earth Day means when humans possess planet-shaping powers. From the report, today you can travel to the furthest part of the Arctic Ocean, to the highest point in the Caucasus Mountains, and to the most remote spot in the Australian outback, and find the unmistakable signs of human activity. Chemical and industrial traces are now present in every pinch of soil and every drop of water, transported by high-altitude atmospheric winds. The imprints of humanity reach all corners of the Earth. From the report also, this statement. Climate engineers are preparing to field test technologies that can reduce the amount of shortwave solar radiation entering the atmosphere in order to cool the temperatures. The big lie, going to do it, preparing to field test. Well, we can see what's happening in the skies above our head. Anyone who chooses to open their eyes. Of course, the statement that the climate engineers are, quote, preparing to field test is a lie of colossal proportion that is, again, readily visible in skies over our heads on most days. To any that have the courage to open their eyes and to admit to the truth. In regard to the critical climate engineering issue, tragically, so many so-called environmentalists and environmental organizations remain in a state of willful blindness and denial, and thus total hypocrisy. On that note again, consider and remember that climate engineering is completely altering upper-level wind currents. This, in turn, is altering ocean currents. The entire climate system has been derailed. Though there are countless forms of anthropogenic or human-caused damage to the climate and biosphere, climate engineering is, as I have stated so many times, mathematically the greatest single factor in the equation. How is the weather around the world? Climate collapse and weather whiplash, climate chaos will continue to worsen. The climate engineering insanity is still being ramped up by a completely insane power structure that only knows how to double down on their insanity. And to be clear, those in power will not stop. They will not relent unless or until we are collectively, those who are awake, aware, and willing to fight for the greater good, until we fully expose climate engineering to the masses. They will continue on the climate engineering programs of planetary omnicide. We must reach a critical mass of awareness, and that effort will take all of us if we're to have any chance of changing course and averting near-term planetary omnicide, the course we are on. Here's a headline from Discovery Magazine. A shark-shaped climate-shifting blob of water as wide as the Pacific Ocean is rising from the depths, from that report. Here's why you should care. That shark-shaped blob of warm water may actually influence the weather you will experience a few months down the road, not to mention just how much warmer the average temperature of our planet will be for the remainder of the year and moving into 2019 as well. Oceans superheating right now. Again, remember how fast the planet is heating overall? Equivalent to the thermal energy in 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second. That's how fast it's heating. If all the heat in the oceans was released back into the atmosphere, not saying that that's a physical possibility, but if that were to happen, if that could be done, that would push global average temperatures right now to 122 degrees Fahrenheit. If the heat that has built up in the oceans was released, the oceans hold so much more thermal energy. As I've stated many times again, cubic meter of seawater holds 4,000 times more thermal energy than a cubic meter of air. The oceans have been masking the true severity of planetary meltdown. Can't hide it much longer. The oceans are dying. They're superheating and dying. Another headline from the Philippines. This is from thebigwobble.org. Most of the Philippines in the extreme caution classification as heat index rises to a high of 47.7 degrees, equivalent to 118 degrees Fahrenheit heat index in the Philippines. Does U.S. mainstream media report on this? No, of course not. Let's go north to this headline from the nationalobserver.com. In worst case scenario, the trees in big parts of Canada's boreal forests will, quote, probably die, says federal scientist. From that report, large portions of Canada's vast boreal forest could, there's that word, one of those words again, could, may, might. There is no could, may, might. It's happening right now. Report continues. Vast boreal forest could be at risk of dying off by the end of the century as climate change will dramatically aggravate the risk of wildfires, drought, and insect infestation, says government scientists in groundbreaking new study. Do we need paid academicians and full study groups to tell us what we can see with our own eyes that's happening right now, not coming at the end of the century? On the current course, we won't be here anywhere near that long. We won't be here at mid-century on the current course. That's a mathematical, statistical fact. But yet, for most of the population, if some, quote, expert tells them it's still a few decades off, they go about their life as if nothing was wrong, as if we don't owe our lives to our children. We owe our lives to our children. We do not own our lives. We owe them to our children and to the greater good. to the web of life on which our children's lives, our children's futures depend. We owe our lives. When will we remember that as a people, as a species? It's not about how many shiny gadgets we can acquire or our own personal pursuits of pleasure. We are here for a reason and a purpose. And if that's not to try to save and salvage a future for our children, then why are we here? Why are we here? The report continues. Even by mid-century, parts of Canada's 270 million hectares of boreal forest that purifies water and air, regulates the climate, and stores carbon will already be at heightened risk of devastating fires like the ones seen in Fort McMurray in Alberta in 2016, the Northwest Territories in 2014, and the James Bay area in 2013, according to scientists in the Canadian Forest Service. Think of the contradiction in this single paragraph. It could come down the road, although it's happening right now. We should be able to see through this kind of smoke and mirrors pacification. That's what this is. A population that wants someone to tell them it's not quite here yet, so you can go on about your business for the moment. Quote, we have a problem in big parts of Canada. When you see 100% of the volume of trees, in the worst case scenario, will probably die, said federal forest ecology biologist Dominic Boucher. Worst case scenario, they will probably die? Of course, the worst case scenario, they will die. They are dying everywhere right now. There's photographs of forests from many northern latitudes that are stone dead as far as you can see. The last time I went into the north entrance of Yosemite, trees were dead as far as I could see. But people going about their business as if their cell phones will save them somehow or distract them from what's happening or shield them from what's happening. Not the case. This headline from the UK Guardian and other sources. Warming climate to nearly double demand for cooling appliances. That'll fix everything. Let's just build more air conditioners. That'll make everything better. From this report, researchers predict energy use for air conditioners and refrigerators to jump 90% on 2017 levels. Never going to happen. We're not going to reach that point. From this report, the biggest energy demand for cooling comes from air conditioning to keep people comfortable, but it is also essential for stopping food from going to waste and protecting medicines. Because our food is transported so incredibly far, it takes about 15 calories of energy to transport 1 calorie of energy that's consumed. That's a very massive net negative equation. This equation is not sustainable, was never sustainable, and is about to hit the wall. That's the bottom line. Not rational conduct from a species, our species, that is not behaving as if it wants to survive long on this planet. I've reported again and again and again on the non-linear characteristics of the unfolding abrupt climate collapse that's occurring now. Feedback loops are a primary factor in this equation. Here's a new headline report from Common Dreams and other sources that addresses the feedback loop factor. Quote from this report, fulfilling feedback loop fears. New study shows melting ice could spell disaster faster than previously thought. Again, those words, could, may, might, no. It should be will spell disaster faster than previously thought. And it's really faster than what was previously stated, and now they can't hide it any longer, so now they're having to admit to some of it. From this report, bolstering concerns that so-called feedback loops should be considered a legitimate and serious concern. A new study shows that a worrying hypothesis put out just 3 years ago about the impacts of melting Antarctic ice may already, could, may, might, there's the word again, has started coming true. It is already happening. Report continues, in a paper published in Science Advances, researchers found that the melting of Antarctica's glaciers has begun to trigger a feedback loop in which that melting's effects on the oceans cause even more ice sheets to deteriorate, and so on. It feeds on itself, just like the methane feedback loop I've been over many times. As the oceans warm, especially in the Arctic, where we have shallow oceans in many places and massive methane deposits on the seafloor that were formerly frozen, that methane thaws, releases into the water column, migrates to the surface, into the atmosphere, rises to the higher elevations of the atmosphere, and starts to cover the planet like a layer of glass, trapping more heat, causing more methane thawing and releasing. It feeds on itself. That's what's happening. Many, many feedback loops in play right now, and the glaciers I just outlined are only one of many, as is the methane situation. Moving on, there's this new headline report from ScienceAlert.com and other sources. One of the most frightening climate change predictions seems to be already happening. You hear the tone of all these articles. Seems to be, could be, maybe, might be. No, it is happening now. It's happening right now. And those who attempt to speak directly to what's happening right now find that it's not very good for their career, especially in societies where no one wants to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They want to ram their heads in the sand, the type of denial that I outlined earlier in this broadcast, and that will not save us. So we have academicians, in response to that, are too cowardly to tell it like it is. That has to change. That has to change. From this report, gigantic pulses of fresh water from melting glaciers could upend circulation of the oceans, leading to a world of fast-rising seas and even superstorms. New research based on ocean measurements off the coast of East Antarctica show that melting Antarctic glaciers are indeed freshening the ocean around them. The melting of Antarctica's glaciers appears to be triggering a feedback loop. This is dovetailing on the earlier report I just went over, in which that melting, through its effect on the oceans, triggers still more melting. Multiple agencies now covering what's happening. Implosion of the cryosphere, the ice deposits on our planet. Here's another headline of total delusion and desperation. This is from the UK Guardian and other sources. Listen to this. Could sprinkling sand save the Arctic's shrinking ice? Grasping at straws, total delusion to pacify the population, that someone somewhere will come up with some magical cure and fix everything, thus allowing the population to continue with their iPhones, their trips to Walmart, and their trips to McDonald's. That's not going to be going on much longer on this course, I assure you of that. From this report, North Meadow Lake will be the staging ground this month for an ambitious attempt to safeguard the Arctic's rapidly diminishing sea ice and stave off the most punishing effects of global warming. Tiny spheres of reflective sand will be sprinkled upon the lake to see if this can prevent lake ice from melting or to slow the process down. Should testing prove successful, the project called Ice 9/11 has the grand vision of slathering around 19,000 square miles of sea ice, equivalent to the size of Costa Rica, with trillions of sand grains in order to stem the loss of ice cover and prevent runaway climate change. For the record, ongoing massive climate engineering operations, which include patented chemical ice nucleation processes, are the only factor that has so far masked the total implosion of polar ice caps. But at what true cost do the geoengineering operations come? If they are allowed to continue, climate engineering is a certain death sentence for the planet and the entire web of life. Those who don't believe this will, soon enough, wait and see. And the incredibly insane proposals from so-called academia, many of which I've been over on previous broadcasts, to put 10 million wind-powered water pumps in the Arctic to pump cold water from the seafloor to the surface to try to freeze the ice, which will thaw and release the methane on the seafloor, which will turn the planet into Venus. Or proposals like this to put sand on the ice as if that's going to save anything, and yet all the while denying the obvious ongoing solar radiation management programs in skies, light scattering particles being sprayed by jet aircraft into the atmosphere, the materials listed on geoengineering patents showing up on the ground in lab test after lab test after lab test, destruction of the ozone layer, now directly attributable to climate engineering, all these dots connecting, and academia pretending it isn't happening because they have yet to find their courage, because somehow they think their paychecks and pensions will save them if they just keep their mouths shut and do as they're told. It won't save you. If you're in academia, if you're an agency official or an elected official, your silence is total betrayal, total cowardice. Find your courage. Tell the truth. If you have something to share, contact our attorneys. You can contact us through geoengineeringwatch.org, who specialize in whistleblower protection. We need you to step forward while there's still anything left to salvage on our planet. We are diligently working with our legal efforts, and we have a statement by our lead attorney that I will publish in the coming days that outlines exactly what those in power are doing to muzzle the climate science community and meteorologists, they are dictating, as I went over last week in last week's broadcast, that the consistency of the message of the reporting is what they are focusing on, not the accuracy. They are handing down scripts, as I've been over so many times. Meteorologists are now reading scripts passed down to them by those who engineer the weather, corporations like Raytheon. The whole system is rigged at this point, and those who participate in that system are part of the problem. Back to those who refuse to step forward and help us to sound the alarm. You're part of the problem. If you're a part of these programs and systems, or you're part of the agencies that help to cover it up, or part of the media that's helping to cover it up, you're a part of the cancer. Make no mistake about that. To those that are in that position, I ask you to take a good long look in the mirror and change course. Choose to do the right thing while you can, while it can still make a difference. Moving on, the military paid for a study on sea level rise. The results were scary. That's a headline, by the way. The military paid for a study on sea level rise. The results were scary. From this report, more than 1,000 low-lying tropical islands risk becoming uninhabitable. There's no risk of becoming. They will become uninhabitable soon. By the middle of the century, no, much, much sooner. This report also downplaying the immediacy of what's unfolding. And it states after that, or possibly sooner, because of rising sea levels, upending the populations of some island nations and endangering key U.S. military assets, according to new research published last Wednesday. The threats to the islands are twofold. In the long term, the rising seas threaten to inundate the islands entirely. More immediately, as seas rise, the islands will more frequently deal with large waves that crash further onto the shore, contaminating their drinkable water supplies with ocean salt water, according to the research. Of course, that's not just going to happen. It's happening right now. And the military doesn't care about the planet as a whole. They only care about their installations, as this report alludes to. It's about holding on to power until there's nothing left. That's what they care about. That's why they paid for their own report. This new headline report is from the UK Guardian. Here is the headline quote. We're doomed. Mayor Hillman on the climate reality no one else will dare to mention. Some of us have mentioned it, haven't we, for a very long time. From this report, quote again, we're doomed, says Mayor Hillman, an 86-year-old social scientist and senior fellow emeritus at the Policy Studies Institute. It takes a moment for the words to sink in. Quote again, the outcome is death, and it's the end of most life on the planet because we're so dependent on the burning of fossil fuels. There are no means of reversing the process, which is melting the polar ice caps, and very few appear to be prepared to say so. Some of us are saying so, Mayor, and thank you for adding your voice to those that are. We are in uncharted territory. The current paradigm is pushing us towards certain near-term planetary omnicide. If we can expose and halt climate engineering, we will buy some time, at least. But that doesn't mean our challenges are over, as some would like to believe. Some would like to believe that's the only problem on the planet or the only threat we face. Not true. Of course not true. That's a ridiculous notion. But that's the first and most important leap we must make forward to expose and halt the climate engineering insanity, which is not mitigating the planetary climate collapse. It's further fueling it overall. Now consider this headline from of half-truth, by the way, half-truth and propaganda and pacification from the Harvard School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. Airborne dust threatens human health in the Southwest. From this report, increased dust due to climate change could result, could, may, might, there we go again, in additional illness and deaths in the U.S. Southwest by 2100. Total propaganda and pacification. There's no could, may, might, and by 2100, we will be long gone on the current course. All of us, our children, their children, no one will be here. No one will be here long before then on the current course. Total headline of half-truth and pacification. And the respiratory illness is off the charts right now. But for so many, when they see a headline like this, they think, oh, it's off on the horizon somewhere, instead of facing the fact that it's kicking the door in right now. And so they go on about their lives, doing nothing, sitting the bench, thinking someone somewhere is moving the ball up the field. Not true. This next headline report is from Environmental Health News and other sources. This report is a confirmation of the unfolding global food crisis that I've tried to bring to attention on numerous broadcast reports. Here's the headline. Analysis. Pessimism on the food front. Scientists weigh in on the converging crisis threatening future food security. Virtually all trends, biophysical and socioeconomic, suggest that levels of hunger already high will only increase as the human population grows and its life support systems are degraded. Steps that might reduce the severity of the situation are unhappily nowhere in sight. Nowhere in sight. It's happening now. We have people starving to death all over the globe right now. We have countries shipping their food to the U.S. when they're starving themselves at the point of a gun in many cases, or sanctions or whatever other lever is used to force them to ship their resources to us to keep U.S. shelves stocked, to keep U.S. populations pacified until the last possible moment. And those populations so far are all too willing to be pacified. That must change. Backtracking a bit here, Earth Day connection with I made with a USDA individual, who I'll leave nameless, but approached me at the Earth Day booth, which I was at all day, to inform me that she was doing her best to sound the alarm on climate engineering in their agency. And I know a number of people with USDA. I've worked with that organization in the past on large habitat restoration projects. And I know the scientists I know there are not willing to stand up and tell the truth. They're not willing. As I've shared in previous broadcasts, some of these scientists, and a couple of them are the top experts in the state, in their field. And I've been in the forest with these experts who I know fairly well. And they made clear they're not willing to tell the truth because that would jeopardize their employment. So again, let's all just pretend nothing's wrong. Betraying the population and the web of life while the entire ship goes down. But this particular individual with USDA informed me that she is doing her best to sound the alarm there. We need others like her. And the drought designation in California, as I've stated before, it's not over. Just because it is not officially being recognized, it's not over. And now I know from this official that by not designating parts of the West as being under drought, that eliminates funding that would be used for some mitigation measures. So it's a way of saving some budgetary funds by our government to pretend there's no ongoing drought scenarios in parts of California still, and parts of the West. Southwest is certainly frying. So they literally dictate what reality is. Same with the UV readings that I've been over so many times. Completely fictitious readings being pumped out by so-called official agencies. They're not even metering in the spectrums of UV that are the most lethal. You can't find what you're not looking for. And geoengineeringwatch.org has reported on this situation since 2014. To my knowledge, we were the first one to sound the alarm on the fact that we were not being told about the lethal UV radiation. The day we published our first report on this in 2014, our website was down in 15 minutes and went down 8 times in the next 3 days. We had to change servers. We had to update all our security. Was the timing of these events just coincidence? I think not. Closing in from every side. The walls are closing in from every side. Pausing for a moment, some individuals message me and ask me to keep my focus only on climate engineering. Why would I do that? How would I do that? When all is connected, how is it possible to correctly put the dots together without addressing all of the dots? I will continue to report on what reason and logic dictates be reported on. And that includes more than climate engineering. There is more to the mosaic of threats we face than just one issue, and all are connected. On that note, consider this new headline report from sciencefocus.com. Could geoengineering cause a climate war? From this report, if country leaders manipulate the weather to do their bidding, could they create political tensions or even all-out war? Is that a ridiculous question? Of course it's true. And of course it's happening. And as I've reported on many previous broadcasts, leaders of countries like Iran have stated publicly on the floor of the UN that the rain to their countries is being cut off. It's being used as a weapon all over the globe, has been used as a weapon all over the globe for decades. Decades and decades. The crown jewel weapon of the power structure. To topple a country, to bring it to its knees without the populations of that country ever even knowing they were at war. That's what climate engineering is. It is a weapon. Nothing less. In fact, in regard to what has already been stated publicly, the next headline is not new, but consider it in the context of the report I just covered that geoengineering, quote, could cause a war. Here's the headline. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says Europe's stealing Iran's rain. This is from 2011, but to point out that this has long since been going on. The leader of Iran says Europe's stealing Iran's rain. And has accused Western countries of plotting to, quote, cause drought in Iran by using high-tech equipment to drain the clouds of raindrops. The president of Iran spoke at the United Nations. One small excerpt. It's been happening all over the globe for decades. African countries brought to their knees and then forced to allow U.S. occupation. Do we think that 156 countries around the world want the U.S. there? Do we really? Follow me through with the rest of the reporting on this broadcast, and let's consider that question. Now, again, back to why it would not be rational for me to report solely on geoengineering alone, without including countless other pieces to the puzzle, because, as I stated, all are related. All are connected. All are a part of the bigger picture that we must wake the masses up to. Consider this headline from a site that is new to me, pathos.com, and please bear with me, I'm going somewhere with this direction. Christian group prays to protect Donald Trump from the curses of witches. From this report, Pastor Frank Amedia recently appeared on televangelist Jim Baker's show, along with members of his group POTUS Shield, to join in a collective prayer to protect Donald Trump from the deep state and, quote, witches and warlocks. Is that really the problem with Donald Trump? I don't deny that there may be some fracturing in the overall cancer that runs our government. But if for those who believe that Mr. Trump isn't a part in that play, whether he knows it or not is irrelevant, and that if we're going to divert our attention from very poor human behavior throughout our government, including Donald Trump and those who preceded him, Mr. Obama, the Clintons, the Bushes, and so many more, all simply props in the power structure play, whether they knew it or not. In the case of Mr. Trump, he may not want to admit he's a puppet in the play, but that's exactly what he is. And when we have criminals, most of us remember the televangelist con artist Jim Baker, who did jail time for his crimes of deception and fraud against the unfortunately gullible public. And then there was the Baker's extramarital affairs, which of course did not exactly fit with what he preached. Perhaps Baker and crew blame such bad behavior on, quote, witches and warlocks in order to absolve them of their own personal responsibility. And so many are so prone to do this. And isn't it profound that so many are so willing to excuse away or altogether omit the massive trail of bad behavior that Mr. Trump has left in his wake? And though there are factions, as I stated, of the power structure attacking Trump, does that excuse Trump's immoral and criminal behavior? In fact, how many have stopped to consider that the whole Trump drama may perhaps be just another chapter in the carefully crafted drama of the power structure to maximize division in the population? I'm not condoning the CNN and MSNBC assaults and attacks on meaningless aspects of Mr. Trump's behavior or possible associations, but does that mean Mr. Trump is not also guilty? And does any of that prove that, or in any way discount the fact that all of this may be just a part of the act to continue and deepen the confusion and division of the population? Witches and warlocks, is that really the problem here? And how does all this connect to climate engineering? There are so many people, for example, who choose to blame what's happening in our skies on everything and anything but humans behaving poorly. Perhaps if the majority of our species stops grasping at scapegoats to excuse away what our species does, what many members of our species do, perhaps we might face the truth, perhaps we might do something about it. Another headline from Antimedia and other sources. Trump hands the military-industrial complex another massive win. And yet another example of the swamp that is thriving under President Donald Trump. His administration just handed the military-industrial complex another massive win. Reuters reported Thursday that the White House is moving to expedite arms sales and, quote, increase the role of senior U.S. officials, including President Donald Trump, in closing foreign arms sales, while giving greater weight to business interests in sales decisions that have long prioritized human rights. That's exactly what's happening. Morality out the window, as long as we can make more arms sales and wreak more havoc around the globe. The report continues, the plans which have been in the works for a year will benefit behemoth corporations, welfare beneficiaries that manufacture weapons of war, including Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, and General Dynamics, all players involved in the climate engineering insanity, by the way, all of them. These companies have made billions of dollars off government contracts over the course of decades and continue to invest heavily in lobbying lawmakers. Bloomberg noted that, quote, the changes include allowing direct commercial sales that don't have to go through the government by companies that obtain an export permit and eliminating special scrutiny of potentially deadly weapons used for military targeting. Saudi Arabia in particular has been widely criticized for its slaughter of civilians and civilian infrastructure in Yemen. Yes, slaughter. Our ally being assisted by Britain and the U.S. The U.S. has provided weapons used to commit these alleged war crimes. And just last year, Donald Trump followed in former President Barack Obama's footsteps by inking a multi-billion dollar arms deal with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The new policy reportedly goes even further than Obama's 2014 relaxation on foreign arms exports. All of them a part of the problem, a part of the cancer. All of them. Continuing, Trump said the new approach aims to cut bureaucratic hindrances with the Pentagon and State Department. It will allow U.S. companies to more easily deal arms not only to Gulf powers, but to other U.S. allies like Japan, South Korea. Japan has experienced an uptick in militarism in recent years after maintaining a pacifist policy after World War II. So there we have it. The U.S. now more than ever pulling out all the stops to proliferate weapons of mass destruction all over the globe for the good of the corporations that it serves, corporations that are also directly connected to climate engineering. That's why all these dots are a part of the bigger picture. While the planet implodes, it's a loot, plunder, and pillage policy until the brutal, bitter end. That is the course we are on. For those who would like to believe otherwise, please wake up. Wake up and look at reality. This administration is a part of the cancer, like all previous administrations, all the same. Continuing on this theme, here's a message from the White House, released for Earth Day from Mr. Trump. Consider the unimaginable hypocrisy of this message, because not only have all the stops been pulled out for weapons of mass destruction proliferation, but any form of environmental protection, we all know, is being gutted, absolutely gutted. And for those who think that that's good for the economy, there will be no economy on a dead planet, none. There will be no us on a dead planet. Consider that. Here's a message from President Trump on Earth Day. Today, our nation commemorates Earth Day, a celebration of the blessings given to us by our Creator. Oh, I have a hard time even gagging down that hypocrisy coming from someone like him, as I would if it came from Clinton or Obama or Bush or any of the rest. His message continues, among them, we cherish our magnificent land and waterways, abundant natural resources, and unique wildlife. As a nation, it is our duty to recognize the importance of these life-sustaining gifts, and it is our responsibility to protect them for our own benefit and that of future generations to come. I can't even begin to address the unbelievable hypocrisy in that statement from that individual. Can't begin to get my arms around it. His message continues. A healthy environment and a strong economy go hand in hand. Absolute lie there. If their strong economy is built on the looting, plundering, and pillage of a finite planet with finite resources, they do not go hand in hand. In fact, they are diametrically opposed. And we will find that out the hard way very, very soon. That is a blatant, glaring lie that I just read. A healthy environment and a strong economy go hand in hand. Not on this paradigm, they don't. They do not. Because this economy is built, again, on the looting, plundering, and pillaging on what is left on our planet. And that's not much. Continuing in the words of Mr. Trump, we know that it is impossible for humans to flourish without clean air, land, and water. We also know that a strong market-driven economy is essential to protecting these resources. For this reason, my administration is dedicated to removing unnecessary and harmful regulations that restrain economic growth and make it more difficult for local communities to prosper and to choose the best solutions for their environment. Already, we are making great economic progress, and in concert with, not in opposition to, protecting our environment. What a pack of total lies. Gut every form of regulation and environmental protection in order to maximize the complete sacking of the environment until there's nothing left. That's what this is. The fossil fuel fiesta by the military-industrial complex until there is nothing left. And to be clear, the global climate engineering assault is a part of this plan. Business as usual until there's nothing left, masking the true state of climate and environmental collapse until there's nothing left. Final statement from Mr. Trump. Americans embrace the idea of enjoying nature in a responsible fashion while preserving the blessings of the land for future generations. My administration is committed to furthering this rich legacy of conservation. This Earth Day, I hope all Americans will give thanks for the environment we share, protect, and call home. What a pack of hypocrisy and total, I can't say the words on the air of what this is. That's simple. Resource depletion will push global power structures toward blatantly aggressive behavior and global conflict, as I've stated and covered in many previous broadcasts. Which countries do polls suggest are considered the greatest threat to global peace? The U.S. and Israel. Please don't believe me on this point. Please take the time to actually investigate. If you're blindly waving your flag, accepting the official narrative that we are good and they are bad, time to wake up. Time to clear the tainted lenses through which we see the world. If we're to have any chance of changing course, bias, ideology, and preconception must be completely abandoned. Consider this. Voltaire said, "To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize." On that note, consider the ramifications of this new headline report from informationclearinghouse.info. I would recommend all find this article and read it. I will try to post a link in the post for this show at geoengineeringwatch.org. Landmark bill restricting criticism of Israel sneaks through South Carolina Senate. South Carolina is poised to be the first state to pass legislation to adopt an Israel-centric definition for anti-Semitism. This will then apply to the state's campuses, potentially limiting discussion of Israel-Palestine to one-sided information that fosters U.S. policies that provide Israel $10 million per day. The bill has been heralded in Israel as a, quote, landmark bill that will lead to change across the U.S. and the world. Who are we not allowed, now legally not allowed, to criticize? Let's not forget this headline from last year. Texas town says no hurricane relief if you boycott Israel. The website for Dickinson, Texas is accepting applications for individuals and businesses who need assistance following the devastating August hurricane. According to the application, those who sign must verify that the applicant, one, does not boycott Israel, and two, will not boycott Israel during the term of this agreement. Before you turn off this program, because you're offended from the straightforward reporting of verifiable facts, please bear with me, and I'll get to the point of this and how it connects to the bigger picture. Completely connects. This next headline is from yesterday. Mandela's grandson on visit, quote, Israel is the worst apartheid regime, end quote. Palestinians are being subjected to the worst version of apartheid, he added. Israel is the worst apartheid regime, and he called for the continued support of BDS, an organization in South Africa, to cut all ties with apartheid Israel. how many international law violations has Israel committed? It's in the hundreds. It's off the scale. We never hear about it here. Why not? Why not? And for those who really pull the strings, if you don't think that they are behind climate engineering, think again. Also, this headline from yesterday. USA Today and numerous other sources carried this report. Israel asked to avoid lethal force as Gaza protests resume. From this report and other from many sources, since the Gaza marches began, 35 Palestinians have been killed and more than 1,500 wounded by Israeli soldiers firing from across the border fence. They're not threatened physically themselves. They're simply firing across a border fence, according to Gaza health officials. Among those killed were four minors, including a 14-year-old boy. The loss of life is deplorable, and the staggering number of injuries caused by live ammunition only confirms the sense that excessive force has been used against demonstrators, not once, not twice, but repeatedly, the commissioner said. Again, I will state for the record the following quote from Voltaire: to learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. And as I stated a moment ago, for those who believe that the atrocities I've just covered have nothing to do with climate engineering and those who are behind it, think again. For those who have the courage to examine the truth, take the time to view the documentary Peace, Propaganda, and the Promised Land. It's easily found online and can be viewed for free. And I have seen a video interview of courageous Israeli pilots, men whom I would be honored to meet, to sit with, men who refuse to fly and refuse to kill innocent civilians. There are several dozen of these pilots. They've been locked up. And there are very honorable Israelis that are fighting against what their government is doing. And that's the point. It's not about a particular people. It's about a particular government. That's what it's about. And those who support that government, just like those who blindly support our government, are a part of the problem. And when we have polls from around the world, the perception of populations around the world that state what they believe to be the greatest threat to national security, to world peace, U.S. and Israel. And this is not to say, for those who think dichotomously, like Mr. Bush, you're either for us or you're against us. Too many people think that way. That's a very destructive, infantile way to think. It's not that simple. Criticism of the U.S. and Israel is not in any way to condone other governments. Not at all. They are all criminally corrupt. All of them. But which are the greatest threats right here, right now? That's my point. Who has the most power by far, and who is thus the most corrupt and the most dangerous by far? The United States of America. A military that's bigger than the next 10 militaries combined. A military-industrial complex. That's what our country is. Out of control. Completely out of control. And thankfully, I'm communicating with some in the military, honorable men, just had recent communications again with some high-ranking former U.S. military officers that see very clearly, and I am very grateful for their contact and for their help. And I pray and hope that there are more like them that find the courage to step forward and help us to alter the course we're on, because we need everyone in the front line of the battle, not sitting the bench somewhere off in the distance, but in the front line, helping to sound the alarm. Again, here's the point. How are we to have any chance of exposing and halting the climate engineering sanity or many other unfolding dire scenarios if we are not willing to honestly consider where the strings of power are actually controlled from? How can we hope to expose and stop the gathering insanity if at the same time we, as a nation, as a people, are supporting the very power centers that are currently most responsible for much of the havoc that is occurring in the world? Power structure, programmed, and completely blind so-called patriotism is not a badge of honor. It's a glaring red flag of total tyranny, a total disregard for morality, honor, and the greater good. Who are we? What character of human being do we aspire to be? a blind follower of carefully crafted power structure ideology built on a foundation of lies and propaganda? Or do we aspire to be a cornerstone in the foundation of the fight for the greater good? Do we aspire to be one who has found the courage to look at the world through a clear lens? The choice lies with each of us. Our will cannot be taken from us, ever. What choices will each of us make at this most critical hour? Join the battle to sound the alarm, the battle to turn the tide of insanity that's closing in from every direction. Sharing credible data from a credible source is key to waking others. Make your voice heard. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.